I think it's a lack of confidence in a lot of ways. And it may be like, you know, they're not ready for women yet. You know, it may be that kind of attitude.
But so society isn't ready for women yet.
That's what, I think that's what they say. But with the Rheta Butler Turner pressing forward, you know, right now in the F&M party, I think that that's going to change a lot, you know. And I think it's a really good move. Don't you think?
I mean, well, you know, it's like there's so much when it comes to empowerment and that sort of stuff. But I personally feel when it comes to Loretta Butler Turner, I've always considered her an awesome role model, you know, and she's compassionate with the work that she does. And I would vote for her, mm-hmm. you know, because I've seen her work at you know, working with social services. I've seen that compassion. You know, she's empathetic. So I mean, I could see a person like her.
Is that the kind of leader we need, though? Like,
I know you were going to say that, because the first thing people say is, I don't think a female should lead because females have too much compassion and you know they're gonna probably put, you know, all these extra soft touches to everything.
But is compassion weakness? Or is compassion our strength?
That's the question I guess we really should be asking.
Yeah, because one of the things that I want women to understand, and I want to implore the women, that sometimes when we find women in executive positions, you see them donning a suit, and it's not so much right now, but I know that in the 90s, late, you know, there was the empowered women, the powerful women image was out, and this image, you know, had a woman in a powerful, dressed like a man, essentially. Mm. She was in a suit, you know, very, you know, very masculine in appearance. And there have been women who've, at these top positions, who have taken away, like, pictures of their families from their desks because it just showed a softer side of them that they didn't want to, I guess, convey to their male colleagues. And so, like, I have to question, like, how women in our empowerment, how we've lost our touch with our softness. And in fact, that our compassion may actually be our strength and not a weakness, right, as some people would like to assume.
Right. And we have a caller on the line already. Caller, good morning. Caller, are you there?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, caller.
You have a good topic you're talking about today.
Yeah. We're going to dig in into it. What's going on?
Bearing me right down as a male. Bearing me right, and many other males, even women, are worn down by it, the monster of feminism. Because, I mean, a woman could be a woman, and a woman have a proper place in this world and in the home. And then women, I mean, you're reaching too far for too much. I mean, it's like, stop someday, ma'am. Please, y'all. Because, I mean, you know, Loretta Butler, she's going to get just what she's looking for if she be the leader of the F&M. You know, because, I mean, like, when you look at this whole world, you know, everything has its place.
Caller, I'd like for you to kind of expand a little bit more on what you mean when you say she's going to get just what she's looking for.
You see her size, right? How big she is? She got a good big whooping.
Okay. Let's be mindful that we need to be respectful.
Definitely.
In our expressing our views to everyone.
Definitely. And we can't allow that here on Coffee Break. We can't allow people to throw insults, especially at our leaders and, you know, people that should be respected and honored. So sorry, we had to dismiss that caller. But, you know, I don't know if he's speaking from a political standpoint.
I don't know where that came from. But yeah, the fact that he said women are reaching for too much.
See, this is my thing. And I think this is the area that I really didn't want to press into. You know, we're trying to keep it as neat as possible. But when it comes to women, like, people would say, oh, they're overreaching. And that would be why you see women dressed in the power suits and, you know, taking away those things. Because we were always considered the weaker sex. We are considered the helpmate. But what happens when the woman has to go ahead and become the provider of the household? You know, you can't have the helpmate anymore. You actually have to now become the head of the home, go out and do what you have to do. And you want to be able to show your children that you can do anything. And so I applaud women who go ahead being single mothers or being the provider of the home, who are trying to ensure that their children see that they're trying to break that glass ceiling for their kids and for their daughters.
Yeah, and we have another caller on the line. Caller, good morning.
How you doing? Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, it's Pumpkin here. First of all, I give my condolences to Al Jarrett. Lost in November.
Definitely.
great contributor and a great contributor to humanity.
Yes.
Seeing him as woman prime minister, because I am dominated by females, so I think if women want to be prime minister and lead out this country, they themselves can do it. I don't think politically they are ready, because the aggressiveness of Ms. Simpson and then Jamaica, she was aggressive enough to know what she wants, and she could, and she was able to go to the top.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. Yes. Now, there are two ladies who had opportunities. Well, one gone now, that's Cynthia, Mother Cynthia Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to. She had an opportunity to push herself to leader. There's a strong, I believe there's a strong possibility she would have won. Retta Turner has a, I have a problem there. Mind you, she's a good, she's a very lovely lady, but she would have to probably change the style, because most of our women here are still more conservative, not liberal.
And she,
that liberalism she brings, maybe that could hinder her. I think a lady right now who probably would, if she wants to aggressively, can take a shot at it with some male help.
Right.
Is the lady for the Amicure, and that's Mandy Griffin.
You think so?
I honestly think so, if you go after the leadership. But mind you, got some hungry men in there. You have to go on with. But then again, you have to convince the rest of our council that she is the lady who can lead. But she had to... Go ahead.
No, I was wondering, you said Melanie Griffin, but you think Melanie Griffin can stand out as strong as Cynthia Mother Pratt?
Yeah.
Because I don't see that.
Melanie had that charm with Mother Pratt attracting both sides, men and women, because you can't just say woman.
Right.
Because both make up the voting population, and maybe these ladies could cut in here. But she have that side that she could attract both sides. Ms. Turner right now only could attract one side, and that one side, a portion of the liberals, women who believe in and men, marital rape, where you have the men are divided and the ladies are divided. I divide on that based on, you give me evidence. She appears to be that type of liberalism.
Okay.
But the Miss Turner, I'm not the other lady, get a mix up on a beautiful morning, but the Yamachua MP have that texture of attracted to
Melanie Griffin.
Definitely Melanie Griffin have that texture of attracted too. What you say, ladies? Oh,
okay. No. I mean, we're gonna let the ladies answer. Thanks, Pumpkin. Thanks for calling.
All right.
In regard to the marital rape bill that they're interested in bringing forth, I think because we don't, I think everybody, I personally feel that it has a political spin on it. You know, because when I was asking about the marital rape bill, I was told that it was in reference to when a woman is divorcing a husband and, you know, the decree nisi is in place, then, and they share the marital home due to financial issues or whatever. I had the impression that they were trying to ensure that the woman, especially if she's in an abusive relationship, has the protection that, you know, nothing happens to her in the home, in the marital home, at the time of them getting ready to get this divorce. Now, I don't know if, I mean, in that aspect, I personally agree with it. But if it's in any other aspect, it's like so many different people are saying no, because you can't, there's no way that you can rape your own wife. So I need to know more. I need to know what the marital rape bill is all about. And it depends on who you go to. You know, that's why I said it has a political spin.
Let me throw the numbers out there, because we have callers calling in. 323-8160, 323-6232. Call in if you want to chime in on Coffee Break. And, you know, marital rape, known as spousal rape, is basically non-consensual sex in which the perpetrator is the victim's spouse. It's non-consensual sex. It's just same as rape. It's rape, you know.
It's rape.
But people,
I think that's key.
Why call it marital rape, though? You know, it's rape is rape, isn't it?
I would love to see us evolve to the point where we say just rape. But I think marital rape has to be understood, because it has to be taken under a different context.
Right.
It's not just that a woman is having sexual relations with a man who was unknown to her or something. So it just lends that. It needs to be more kind of comprehensive view approach, at least,